This is Pastor Mike Ecclestone speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6.
You are the maker, creator, master designer of heaven and earth. You saw the future and made me. You had a plan before my birth. So shape my life by your design. You are the maker, creator, master designer of heaven and earth. From the start you knew my heart. You created every part of me. Take my hand, reveal your plan, everything you want for me to be. You are the maker, creator, master designer of heaven and earth. You saw the future and made me. You had a plan before my birth. So shape my life by your design. You are the maker, creator, master designer of heaven and earth, of heaven and earth.
Okay, let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel, chapter 3. We'll read the first 6 verses, have a word of prayer, and then take off from there. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth the same hour, be cast into the midst of the fiery, of the burning fiery furnace." Our Father, we come before you, thankful for the reading of your word. Pray that you might bless it to our spiritual understanding. We have had these lessons taught to us from the time of Sunday school on up. There's a great deal of familiarity with of what we're looking at here. And so we pray that we would use your words correctly, wisely, powerfully, through the working of the Holy Spirit. There's no reason for me to try to usurp his authority. Or sitting in our pews or watching live stream to usurp his authority either, as far as what we hear. And so we ask him to have complete control over everything that we do here. And we just ask, if there's anybody lost, may they see the sad, sad future that is awaiting them right now. And if they die in a lost condition, they will receive forever. Again, speak to our hearts, May your will be done, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as this is a familiar story, the three Hebrew children, out of who knows how many thousands of people, are refused to bow down and worship. Everything that we just read did happen, just the way it's said. And everything that we're going to read this morning will happen just the way it has been written. So with that in mind, go down to verse 15. Read you a few other things which you're familiar with. Now, if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast at the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O king Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. All right, go down to verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors and captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Again, everything I just read happened just the way it was written. You can't address this and say, I've got a different opinion or a different version, and maintain the truth. All right? So go with me to Jude, the only chapter, at least in my Bible, it's the only chapter. And I want you to look at verse 22 and then 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I'll let those two verses just stay where they are. You might want to hold your place in Jude, because we're going to go into Revelation in a minute or two. But back here in Daniel chapter 3, what precipitated the demand that Nebuchadnezzar made to fall down and worship the golden image? The music. The music. It was not just a command and everybody come together and then now all together, one, two, three, bow down and worship the image. It was all about the music. Plain and simple, it was the music. Okay? Now, Nebuchadnezzar, I feel, prefigures a future event in which there will be one who will demand total allegiance and worship. And I think music will, as it is today, play a critical role in that event, as it did this one. Not all, and obviously this doesn't happen all at once, but over time. And as man continues his apostasy, which includes music, it's not only doctrine, but music, this will set up so that another person can stand in Nebuchadnezzar's place and do the same thing and cause people to bow down and worship. And I believe that's coming. Now, Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. Go down here to verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, keeping that statement in mind, previously to that, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll read the first five verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And so we see a man, a ruler, a dictator, a world ruler, a world dictator, enters the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem in the tribulation period. My take on that is that is in the middle of the tribulation period. And he desecrates the altar and he sets himself up as God. You know, we've got a movement that has been going on for a long time, and it all revolves around me. I don't know that we could call it the me movement, but everything revolves around me, 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 me. This is the grand result of how this is going to play out. And we know that he's the Antichrist. All right? Later on in the chapter 13, verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now we know this is the false prophet. We know there's a religion involved with this. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and causeth that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. All right? Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. Okay. Now, I want you to go back up. It pretty much is, I'm not going to comment on a lot of that, and go back up to verse 8 and kind of look at what John is saying here in verse 8. And the first thing is the worshipers that John reveals. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. This is a time that will be when all those that are on the earth will in fact worship him. But it's qualified by the rest of the verse. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So what are we seeing? We're seeing all the lost, all the condemned, all the unsaved, all the partially saved, all the almost saved. In other words, lost. And they are the ones that are going to be worshiping the beast. That is going to happen. There's no mistaking that that is not going to happen. It's going to. These are people that had no use for the blood of Christ. No use whatsoever. Remember, it says there, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, He shed His precious blood in order that our debt of sin might be paid in full. And they have no use for that. There are people today that have no use for that. If they had use for it, they wouldn't take it out of the hymnals in their Bibles. But they have. They have no use for the blood of Christ. You want to see the result of hard-heartedness toward Christ, toward His Word, toward the Gospel, after 3.5 years of calamity and tragedy already, you have one half of the population of the world gone. They've been killed by this particular time. Economies are almost non-existent. I mean, you know, the river smells because of sometimes fish kills. You need to go down. We had thought we're going to go down to Sanibel and Captiva for a day, and I'm glad we didn't, because I was talking to the doctor that I was at last week, and she said she took her kids, and they were so upset because everything stunk because of the fish kill. Imagine all the waters and all the earth where everything dies, and the smell. All right, now, I mean, we're only at a midpoint here, and yet, right there in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, because they had no use for the blood, they had no use for the gospel, they have no use for Christ, they have no use for anything to do of a spiritual nature. These are who John is talking about first. Okay, verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. All right, so there's a personal requirement to hear. I think that should be self-evident anytime the word goes forth. Anytime you read, you should have an ear to hear. And you should have a readiness to hear. Let him hear. If you don't have a readiness to hear, then in all likelihood, you're not going to hear anyway. But you need to hear. It's as important, if not more important, for you to hear than for me to speak. Because if you don't hear what's spoken, why are you here? All right, verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. All right, so here's the tribulation message. And he cautions, John cautions, the suffering believers about the law of divine retribution. It is not made up. There is a law. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And when you think about this, he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. There is no carnal way to avoid the sufferings and the trials of tribulation suffering. No way. It was like when Bob was talking about this morning with Joshua and Caleb, and they were the only two spies who brought that back the correct message, but yet they had to go through 40 years in the wilderness. Well, you've got saved people that are going to be on the earth, because we know not everybody is going to be lost. And they're going to have to go through the very things that are spoken here. And they're going to have to stand, of course, against the very things that are spoken here. And here's the endurance and patience of faith in tribulation. And the evidence of a believer's faith in tribulation. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. All right, praise the Lord, you've gotten saved in tribulation. Who's the ministry primarily to in the tribulation? Jewish people. There obviously are some Gentiles, but predominantly Jewish. They know what's going to happen. They're being told what is going to happen. And yet they stand for Christ. They give out His word. They stand boldly. There are no Secret Service Christians in tribulation. They proudly announce that they have Jesus Christ as their Savior, even though it means their death. We should be glad it's not like that, but yet maybe that what it needs to be to cause you to get busy with the gospel and to live for the Lord. So all of these things come to play now. But then in verse 15, and He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause it that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. All right. In verse 15, you have supposedly a deadly wound toward the first beast, the Antichrist, that He heals and gives life to this image. And there is a 100% sure thing that happens here. If you do not worship the image, you're killed. Just the same as the intent was in Daniel chapter 3. If you don't bow down and worship at the sound of the music, then you're going to be killed. The procedure is exactly the same. The circumstances are different, but it's the same thing. There's going to be an image, and people of the world are going to bow down to worship it. Who's going to worship it? Only the lost. Who's going to be in the white throne judgment? Only the lost. There's going to be no lost people in the judgment seat of Christ. No saved people in the white throne judgment. So the lost, they're going to worship. But it is a surety that if you don't worship, you're saved. You know you're saved. You will be killed. All right, in verse 16, we have a second sure thing. And He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. If you do not take the mark, the end result is exactly the same. You get killed. So you've got a system that's going to be set up that is ironclad. We're going to create something here where all the people of the earth, they're going to bow down and worship, but the saved aren't. And they're going to be killed. And all the people of the earth are going to take the mark of the beast, except the saved. I don't like the thinking that is occurring today that, well, you know, for the sake of expediency, probably a lot of saved people will take the mark of the beast. You don't understand the scripture. You take the mark, you're not saved. You don't take the mark, you get killed. You're martyred, but you will be killed. Go to chapter 14 and look down here in verse 9. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. Listen, you're sitting here, you're watching, whatever, and you're not saved. You better be sure you're saved. Because if the Lord would come now, and you are plunged into tribulation, and you take the mark, you worship the beast, there is your reservation. It's already been made for you. And you can't get around. This is going to happen. Right, where were we? And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. There's the assurance of believers in tribulation. You don't take the mark. You won't worship the beast. Your future will be the same as the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3. and you will die for your faith. But, as in Daniel chapter 3, there was a fourth person, and that was the Lord in the furnace. And as in tribulation, there will be a fourth person with you, and the Lord will go with you through that. And that's, again, that's the assurance of the believers in tribulation. Now listen, today, the lines are way too blurred between those who are saved and those who are lost. I mean, it almost becomes impossible to know. And listen, music is taking center stage today, and I believe along with the multiple versions of Scripture, I think both of those things are adding to this to, again, blur the lines. Even though the Lord knows who saves and who isn't, it's becoming difficult, more difficult for we who are to tell really who is. And sometimes you need these kind of things to come into people's lives so that you can see who is and who isn't. In tribulation, it will be clear who is saved and who isn't. I mean, it's very clear. You will either take a mark or you won't take a mark. You will either worship the beast or you won't worship the beast. And those who are on one side, there's no melting pot here. And saying, well, some of them will do. No, the Scripture is very clear here. Salvation is, I believe, is important at any time. It's important this morning. If you don't believe the Lord's going to come back anytime soon, salvation is still important this morning. Very important. And more so as the Lord's return looms over the earth. Look here in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter writes to these, and these were Jewish believers, the second epistle, verse 1. Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise that is coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. Listen, there is a mockery going around today by people that are theologically opposed to the pre-tribulation rapture. Where is he? I thought all the signs were in place that there's nothing else that needs to be done for him to come back. Well, you're right. There are. He could come at any moment. He could come right now. And if you sit here or watch and you're doing the same thing and you're scoffing inside, you're no different than these people. You're just ignorant of the word. And when he comes, there's no second chance. None whatsoever. If you've heard the word and you're not saved, in tribulation, it'll be close to impossible to believe because the delusion will be so strong. It's hard for me to imagine, as sometimes they project this, that planes are in the air and the Lord returns and suddenly planes go down and all these people disappear and there's this pandemonium and chaos in the earth. You know what? I don't see that. What I see is that there's not that many who are saved. And yes, there would be family wife. Let's put it this way. Suppose the Lord came right now. Would any of our people be left? I have no idea. But if they're not saved, they would be left. And for some reason, the confusion and delusion would set in immediately, and you would not even know what took place. You would buy the lie that would be told to the world of some bacterial thing that just dissolved us or whatever. Some Christian science moment. We just believed we were here. We just believe that, you know, we're really not here at all. If you haven't heard, and it's hard for me to understand how somebody can be here and not here, but I do understand that that's possible, because you can be here against your will and you don't hear a word that's being said. We had a lady in our church in Montana when we had our we met in the house before we moved into the YMCA, and she would get on her knitting and she would knit during church. You remember her? And she had a Jehovah's Witness background. She wasn't interested in what we were saying. She was just there for whatever reason. I don't know, but she didn't hear anything. It's hard to imagine that the Word of God can go forth and you're somewhere else. Oh, maybe you got a Bible open. Maybe it's on your lap. Maybe it's a King James Version. But you're not here. And you're not listening. So if you haven't heard, again, you have a small opportunity in the tribulation. But the fact that everything happens the way it does is tantamount to your not believing in tribulation either. It'd be easier for a person that has not heard the gospel anywhere in our country to be saved than for you who, in a gospel preaching church, haven't heard, but had the opportunity to hear, but wouldn't do it. You read back and go back to Proverbs chapter 1. The subject matter is a little different, but not completely. Proverbs chapter 1. And look here in verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Is that speaking of anybody here? Is that speaking of anybody watching? You have set your heart, your mind, your soul, I want none of this. Look what the Lord does. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. If you don't have the fear of God working on you through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you are right there in 24, 25. Say, it's not important. I have time. I can settle this. I can take care of that. You won't. So, Nebuchadnezzar sets up this image. It's conditional on the music. The music had to have some hypnotic effect to it in some way. And Nebuchadnezzar, of course, is trying to start a new religion because he didn't want the rest of the image to come to fruition. And there were three that didn't bow, and the Lord providentially made sure that they did not die. In tribulation, the Antichrist and the false prophet will do the same thing. I still believe music is going to be involved, because music is at the core of almost everything that goes on today. And when all of this plays out, those who are lost, those who are condemned, those who are damned will bow down and worship the beast. Those who are lost, those who are condemned, those who are damned will take the mark of the beast, and the believers will be killed. So, and of some, have compassion. Some people you can love to the Lord. This is not that moment. Verse 23, and others save with fear. Not man's fear, not a preacher's fear, but godly fear. Pulling them out of the fire. Paul was talking about the fellow that got burned up in the salvage yard and the horribleness of what's happened to him. And it happened pretty quick, but if there was somebody there, it sure would have been nice for somebody to pull him out of that fire. Well, everybody that's lost is in the fire. Everybody. And if you don't pull them out of the fire, who is? You haven't been able to reach them through common sense and you know, scripture versus scripture and everything else. Just not working because they're obstinate. They're hard-hearted. Stiff-necked. So now you have the opportunity to pull them out of the fire against their will. If need be. Hating even the garment that has been spotted by the flesh. But at least you got them. How important is this? Terribly important. The things we read in Daniel have taken place. The things we've read in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Peter, Jude, and the book of Revelation will take place. Just exactly as they took place in Daniel. Just exactly like anything in the Word of God that has happened, that was written, and happened exactly the way God said it would, as opposed to what's going to happen, and it will be happening exactly the way God said it would be. If you're here without Christ, I would make sure. I would not venture to gamble your life by walking out the door lost. But I can't convince you. I can't persuade you. I can't save you. But I can tell you how. I can show you how, and several others here can show you how. Why would you miss eternity with God for the lake of fire because of your background? I had a lousy background. Many of you have had lousy backgrounds, religiously lousy backgrounds, mixing grace and works. And painting God as not the God of the Bible, but the God of some false religion. Let Him get through to what you need to know. And come to trust Him as your Savior. You won't be ashamed. You won't be embarrassed. A child of God. I can't believe that if there was an embarrassment, it was before I was saved. What was I before I was saved? I was just a lousy, rotten sinner. Now I'm a child of God. And I want people to know. And I want to pull people out of the fire. And if it takes something like this, praise the Lord. Not something you use all the time, but when everything else is not working, why do we still think, oh, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Really? If you die lost, what's the wonderful plan? Eternal hellfire. That's what it is. So when we get to a place like this, and we look at history that has happened with a direct link to history that's going to happen, that hasn't happened yet, let's believe both. And wherever you are spiritually, let's act on it. If we can be more militant, we ought to be more militant. We're living in an age where we've got pansies instead of soldiers. I have something here to give you. And you run off. We had a fellow that had been saved, I don't know how long, and he would put a track in a bathroom. That was it, where he worked. And somebody ripped it up, and he was so afraid, I said, I can't do that anymore. Pray for boldness. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. Boldness. Because we need that. But everywhere we go, people are on their way to eternal hellfire or eternal life. And you don't know the difference from what you see because it's too blended. And you can't allow your mind to play tricks with you and say, well, they've got the right words. What does that mean? You could say to someone else outside of church here that you live at my address. You could convince them if you've been to our house of what's inside and what the property looks like. But you don't live at my address. The same thing happens with the gospel. You hear it enough, you can give it back to someone else without ever having received Christ as Savior. So if that's you, then you take advantage of what we have here, what's here in this book. and come to receive Christ as Savior. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning realizing that there's coming a time when there will be the worship of the beast, the Antichrist. We are being set up for that today, more and more, not only in the field of music, doctrinally, practically, standard-wise, straight across the board, we're being set up for the event to take place where everything becomes one. But it won't be in belief, it'll be in unbelief. And we need to figure out whether we're going to go that direction, because we can if we want, but we can't choose the consequences of that action. So I pray that you'd speak to our hearts here this morning. If we belong to you by faith in Christ as Savior, let us not, even in the shadow form, worship the beast or take his mark. There are people today that are marked all over, from head to toe. I know some people question, oh, there won't be many people that will take the mark. Father, I know that you've looked around a whole lot more than I have. There's an awful lot of markings on an awful lot of people. It would be a very simple thing to take a mark in the forehead or on the hands. And in all likelihood, they'd be under the skin anyway. And Father, I just pray that somebody here, if they're lost or they're not sure if they're saved, will take the time this morning, right here at the invitation, to come to Christ. And that we that are, even though we've beat our heads against the wall, having compassion on them, I'm not saying to give up that, but to add another element and to pull them out of the fire with fear. Have your way in the invitation, for we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.